to NURFM 103.7. One of the great things about living in a democracy such as ours here in Australia is that from time to time we exercise our right to protest. That's where things can get a little bit muddy, with protests and counter-protesting becoming even violent at some point. Let's have a look at that whole situation this morning with Brendan Gogarty from the University of Tasmania, their senior lecturer in law there. Good morning, Brendan. I guess firstly, how important is protesting when it comes to living in democracy such as ours? Is it important or is it not so important?
Huge question, isn't it? I mean, I guess you start with the notion that we in this country don't have a Bill of Rights. So everything that we depend on has to happen in Parliament. All our rights and all our duties and all our protections have to be legislated for by Parliament. And really, the only way that we're going to influence that process is to have the ability and a platform to raise our concerns, but also our criticisms of government. And if government can control what we say and where we say it, it's a really big problem for us, because we're the only OECD country without a Bill of Rights, or even the right to free speech. So I think that most legal commentators would agree that at least the ability to express your political views in public in different places is really, really important. And we're a culture awash with information. So me just telling my mates that I don't like something, well, we all live in a bubble. So we have to find creative and new ways of raising our political messages. So protest can be a really important platform for that. But to say we've got a right to protest is probably a little bit too broad, because people could hide behind that and do some pretty damaging things, as you pointed out.
So let's take it back just a little bit, Brendan, there. You mentioned the concept of having a Bill of Rights. What exactly would that look like? And is that something that we should be afraid of, or something we should be willing to embrace, perhaps?
There's a lot of views on this. Most countries do have a Bill of Rights. You know, the US is most famous, and that can be quite dangerous, because you fix a Bill of Rights in the 18th century and you get the right to bear arms to shoot someone, but no medical health care when someone shoots you.
I think this could be interesting, couldn't it? Because yeah, we could set something up today and you could say, well, firstly, what should be in it, and therefore we could argue for years on that, but then down the road we may want to change it.
Yeah. And look, Canadians go for what's called a Charter of Rights rather than a Bill of Rights. So it's not fixed in your constitution. It can be changed, but you have to have a special process to do it. And the Victorians, as a state, have gone for that sort of model. But it causes problems as well, because the courts are often a bit confused as to when Parliament overrides the Charter and stuff like that. But you're right. I mean, the notion of rights are fixed in time. They're very cultural. So if we had fixed a set of rights in 1900, Indigenous people may not have had any rights whatsoever. And other ones which we find really offensive today, such as a woman was property of a husband. And up until the 1950s, that meant a man couldn't rape his wife. It was part of our rights culture in 1900. So you've got to be really, really careful about what you fix into these things. But on the other hand, if you don't have them there, then sometimes Parliament can just trammel what we consider to be really fundamental aspects of our society. So it's a really hard balance to make. And I think that's why freedom of political communication is such an important facet of our political system.
If we could bring that from there, Brendan, back to protesting just for a little bit, does everybody have the right to protest? And should we have a situation where, yes, everybody can express their views and we're not all going to agree on the same thing? Should we perhaps make sure that groups who say, well, this Saturday we'll be protesting in the park about this issue, those that have a counterpoint should be separate from that? Or do you think everybody should be still allowed to be together? Because when everyone gets together, that's when we have the violence.
Yeah. Look, I guess in our legal system, we tend to avoid, in Australia, the use of the word rights a lot. We talk about freedoms. And in the High Court just recently, the High Court made it very clear that you do not have a right to protest, like a general right that you can use to trump everyone else and certainly to threaten others and do things like that. What you do is you have a freedom from laws which unduly restrict your ability to express yourself. And that's a much more nuanced approach. But I think that where the court viewed that was that we all have a duty as well to protect others, to ensure that when we pass our political message to other people in the public, we're not doing so in a way that threatens them or threatens their business or threatens people's safety. So it's a much more balanced view than the US has, where I get up with my right and I scream at you from one side, and you get up with your right and you scream at me from the other.
Which doesn't really solve anything. It's not very helpful for anybody.
No, it's really not. I guess a lot of listeners would have heard of the Westboro Baptist Church, which is a very radical religious organization in the U.S. who goes and pickets outside of the funerals of dead soldiers and right next door, and while the person's being put in the ground, screams really obscene things and makes posters which are hugely offensive, and that's gone all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. But because they have a right to free speech, the U.S. Supreme Court has said, the right to free speech can create great damage and great distress, but it's a right, and it's a right in our Constitution, which overrides the ability and the protections of individuals from distress and the protection for grieving. So you can see in those circumstances that if we highlight certain rights to the detriment of others, parents of grieving soldiers don't get the ability to have a peaceful funeral. And that's true of everything, really. So the Australian system, as much as we criticise, it does allow for much more of a balancing on either side of that fence to ensure that everyone acts in the right way.
Sadly, Brennan, at this stage, we might be the pick of a bad lot. Thank you for sharing a little bit of your thoughts on protesting with us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Brennan Gogarty from the University of Tasmania, Senior Lecturer in Law there, talking about protesting with us this morning on 2NURFM 103.7.